I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you now? I'm James Whelan. Welcome to The Theory of Thing, sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. I am James Whelan, as mentioned, investment manager. And a reminder that all advice contained in this podcast is general in nature. If you need anything at all, tea, coffee, biscuits, please speak to an advisor about your needs. Mark Well, I'm joined by Heath Moss of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Really good, thanks, mate. I'd love a coffee, thanks. If you could just get a cappuccino for me, that'd be fantastic.
Mate, I've got myself a, what is that? That's a black coffee. I can't.
International roast.
She ain't international roast, mate. But we've got a coffee. We're in these service apartments here, a theatre of the mind of the beautiful podcast thing for people who aren't watching on video, and we are available on YouTube as well, that we've got a shared office in broadcasting from the Amfex studios here on Castle Row Street, shared coffee location that we have, which dishes out. I've only just figured out how to use the flat white button. I'm a flat white guy, so I'm a strong flat white button guy. There is milk in the machine. It comes out okay, but this is just a black coffee that gets me through podcasts and for the rest of the day. I'm trying to cut back on coffee, but failing miserably. Heath, how's your coffee intake?
I generally only have one a day, and like you, it's just a straight black. We do the capsules here, the Nespresso capsule machines. And unless I'm going out to meet clients or someone else, BDMs, et cetera, I generally only have one a day. My wife actually has about three or four a day.
That's about where I'm at.
Yeah. So I've eased right back, but black coffee, there's actually literally zero calories in black coffee. It's good for you.
That's right. When you're doing, I've been trying to do a bit of the fasting thing sometimes as well. You get up, I do a jump rope, a bit of a marathon jump rope effort, some light lifting sort of thing like that. Because I am an athlete, trying to get myself into going back to
Japan,
back to back gold medals, and then trying to get to Kawasaki for the 2025 jump rope worlds, which is going to be a lot of fun. So I got to get myself set for that. So if you're doing the fasting thing, then black coffee does count as something that you're allowed to consume if you're doing that morning fasting thing. I can only make it to 12 until I start getting very, very ordinary as a human being. Blood sugar just absolutely drops down. But enough of this nonsense, my friend. The week that was has been a week of turnarounds.
Yes. Tell us, no flashing lights.
Mate. Jolts.
Yeah, there's no flashing lights. Bad news is great news. The market's been really, really strong this week. We saw the S&P 500 up around 2.5% this week.
I'll check the chart up here.
Yeah, I'll check the chart up. There we go. There's the S&P 500. We're ready. We're organized. The Nasdaq is next up. We're up 3.5%. But you can see on the S&P, it's back above those 20 and 50-day moving averages, the orange and green lines there. It's technically a breakout. It was in a downtrend there where I think the depth was about 5.5%. So it's broken back out to the upside. And like you said, the bad news is good news. We saw Jolts jobs report, which showed job openings or job advertising at 8.8 million, which is... it was below the forecast of around 9.4 million and well below the last month of around 9.3. So companies are starting to advertise less over there. And this could be the start of that. We've spoken about it for a while where we expected to start in construction in the States, where housing construction stalls and jobs get lost there. And it snowballs from there where, people are losing jobs and construction can't spend money. And that starts spreading over to consumer spending and jobs are lost there, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe we're starting to see the start of that over there in the States. But the market rallied because obviously it's basically saying, well, that's it, no more hikes. I know there was a hike priced in for November before this data came out. I think the chance of that has dropped dramatically. So that's basically what it's all about at the moment, was the weaker economic data pushing market higher.
Yeah, it sure has been. And look, when one day eventually bad news does actually become bad news, that's going to be a whole different situation. Until then, enjoy it while it lasts. This is part of the reason why I keep on saying it's better to be invested than to take entire positions in or out of the market, because if you'd missed those last 4 days, you are never going to be able to catch that back up. And that's been fantastic. I think the move that we had, BHP, did you want to touch on, I know that China's been a thing that we've talked about a few weeks on this one. The stirrings out of China with some of the things that they're doing do hint towards potentially that we're looking at that sort of stimulization sort of situation, which then raises in my mind, this isn't direct stimulus. I think that they're talking about reducing the triple R, the requirement, the ratio requirement the banks are required to hold.
Bank reserve, yep.
Bank reserves, thank you, that they're required to hold, which then sort of creates stimulus. The problem that comes up, and this is one that I sort of have to remind people, and this is one that I'm going to have to remind people, I'm going to talk about China and then I'm going to talk about local. So go with me on this one. That the Chinese situation as it comes is going to be, if China is in some sort of decline and a rut and they do decide to kick in stimulus, that's going to push resources up. It's going to push energy up, which is actually then going to continue to push inflation up for the cost of things and the cost of fuel and things like that. So in fact, when you have a slowdown, which is helping inflation, because remember that there's huge theories that are saying that China is exporting its deflation, which people are seeing as being great because that's keeping it down, which is keeping rates off, which is then going to keep markets up. Stick with me. If China then puts in the stimulus, which makes energy and resources go up, that is in turn actually going to put inflation back up again, rates back up again, markets back off again. Show me a way out of this and I'll give you $100. Rhetorically speaking.
Yeah. Look, I mean, look,
am I wrong?
No, not in a direct sense, but I think there is going to be, like, I mean, if we see at the moment, what's pushing inflation up still is housing and services and housing are still the main causes of inflation. And even here in Australia, we saw our monthly CPI data yesterday again, and those two things were main contributors, along with other food as well, etc. But which it actually came in softer than expected, those CPI figures. So we're still on the way down. But you're right. If they start to stimulating the economy in a big way again, you know, the things like iron ore, copper, oil, all those sorts of things start rising. But I think the other side of things is if the EU goes into recession and possibly the US goes into recession, then that's pulling the other way. And we saw, what was it, between 2011 and 2014, oil traded well above $100 for those three, four years and traded as high as around $150 a barrel, I think it was. And we saw little to no inflation.
Yep. Good point. Well,
yeah, I mean,
because it doesn't get counted, or it doesn't, well, there's also what they're counting in the fact that people like the Fed and the RBA don't do food and fuel sort of as part of their tax, because they're things that you can't actually get. However, when it comes to people actually feeling the pinch, they are things that people still actually have to use and still spend their money on. Locally speaking.
Food's one-third of the budget.
Yeah, it sure is. In fact, getting a little bit bigger as well. I'm trying to find ways to save money on my food stuff just coming into the last few weeks before the second level of my house is completed. Well done to the GVH Constructions as well for the work that they've done, putting on another couple of bedrooms. My girls and family finally have a place to stretch out this will be the first time they haven't shared a room. It's incredible.
Fantastic.
10 years of them sharing a room. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. So speaking locally as well. So locally, we've had a bit of ordinary data too. Now, there's tremblings and murmurings away, and I'm going to lead this, and then I'm going to let you have a bit of a chat because I've got to figure out the football thing. There's murmurings that are on route of saying that, yes, this is actually the corner which is turned, and I don't want to quote the fund managers that I chat to, but and economists, that the corner has turned with regards to consumer spending, and that we are looking at the last quarter as it being, this is the weak quarter. This is officially, and we've heard this a few times, this is officially the belt tightening. And then run. So this is what happens to markets, the way that if you want to crystal ball it in a really basic sense, you go, oh, great. What I'm going to do is short the consumer discretionary stocks that I hate. I'm going to short Harvey Norman. Go nuts. They reported this morning. Without even knowing, it was a beat. Great.
Yeah, perfect. Beat.
Short the hell out of Harvey Norman. Go nuts. Take the immigration thing out of the debate. Lots of housing, lots of TVs, lots of kettles and stuff like that. Harvey Norman's going to profit from a huge immigration spark. Take that out of the equation to say, you know, straight off, the existing economy is going to tighten their belts. They're not going to renew that television over Christmas. They're not going to renew the kettles, toasters, all the crap that Harvey Norman sells. Even if they wanted to be a sponsor of this show, I would not let them. I can't stand the company or the stock. They already do. The fact is, though, that if you take a short position, if you're that way inclined, you take a short position into that particular consumer stock with this sort of thing impending, once the data starts to come through saying that, like we saw this week, that inflation is coming off. What was that big number? Unemployment? There was some... It's gone completely slipped from my memory about what the big number was that hit that was...
There was an Australian jobs data last week where we missed and we lost jobs. It was
what was the thing this week? It's what was the data this week? It was a massive miss, okay. And that more of that is going to come through. Wow, that's incredible. So amateurish. I do apologize for that, people. That there was a big one that it's actually slipped my mind exactly what the big thing was. That's gone. We're going to see more of that happen over the next quarter. As that happens, we're going to go, great, the RBA is not going to be cutting. The RBA is not going to be raising. We're going to see more cuts, earlier cuts. It's not going to be higher for longer locally. What happens next? Market goes up. So here's the thing. You're going to take a short position, which technically you're correct, but the fact is that companies like Harvey Norman will potentially get dragged up or at least not get hit as hard with the idea that relaxation on rates, and this is that same situation we're going to have, relaxation on rates, I mean, the people are probably going to have a little bit more money to spend, I don't want to say on what, into 2024, especially if they start to see rate cuts. I'm one of those people too, and I can see that. So in effect, the fact that the one thing is sort of causing another thing, which is then it's sort of solving its own problem and actually causing its own problem. If you can sort of understand the circle that I'm going around with here.
Yep.
Now you go.
I'm going to find out what that damn
data was. That's killing me.
Funnily enough, I've actually been buying a little.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Bit of Harvey Norman this week around that 370 to 380 mark.
Yeah, I'm selling you.
My thoughts are, and I'm obviously on the other side of the fence here with you, is Harvey Norman has a very high correlation to Australian residential construction. People build houses, they buy a new lounge, bridge, et cetera, et cetera. You see it all the time. And that data can't get any worse. I think we're seeing figures as bad as we saw in the lows in the 90s or along those lines. It is extremely bad data at the moment, the construction data. So there are plans and federal and state plans to build a crap ton new houses over the next 5 years. I think the federal plan is 1.2 million homes over the next 5 years. So construction will start picking up. We need it to. We've got high net immigration. These people need to live somewhere. We've got renters that want to move into their own house, et cetera, et cetera. We need more places for people to rent. So construction will pick up again. And this is how the markets work. The markets are starting to forecast that in possibly into Harvey Norman's price. And we've seen it well off its lows of around 330, 340. It's now about 380, 390.
Yeah.
And they're expecting in 12 months' time, hey, things are probably going to be a bit better. This is probably the worst Harvey Norman, et cetera, are going to see in Q3 this year. Things are going to get better from here. And you can count that for, say, your JB Hi-Fi's, your Baby Buntings, theirs. You know, they've all said similar things. And I think we covered it last week was, you know, sales are down, foot traffic is down, volumes are down, and even online sales are down. So people are spending less on those services. Still going to those restaurants, like we've been saying for a while, but as for goods and services. So that's my theory and why I think we'll start to see Harvey Norman drag itself back off the canvas. I mean, because it was trading below around 10 times forward earnings there. So the damage was done. It had been focused in. JB Hi-Fi is trading around 14 times forward earnings. So trading much higher premium to peers. It is a better business. I won't argue that. But it is trading at a much higher premium. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm a little bit on the other way of that. I'm not shorting. I wouldn't be shorting Australian retail here. I think the damage is done. We're seeing some prices of these stocks down 50 to 80% in some cases in Australian retail, especially if you look at Baby Bunting, you know, ties during COVID, and now it's, you know, extremely well down. I'm the opposite. I've been buying a little bit of Harvey Norman on the basis that construction can't get much worse, and we'll start to see an uptick in that towards the end of the year and into 2024.
Well, just so that we're clear, I'm not actively. It was sort of more of an example that you were, but I just that you are. And if you want, like I said, general advice only. Okay, now let's see. I've got a tweet here. What else have you got? I've got a tweet here. I'm just going to put this up. Well, it's not really a tweet. Yeah. I'm just going to go through interesting things which I saw over the week that was. So there's that. Let's see if I can get this to work. Ooh, I can. Hey, can you see that? There's the household savings and spendings. This is locally. The changes in spending 4 weeks to the 23rd of July, 2023. So it's close enough. The source is the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, the big yellow. Hello to all of my CBA colleagues, former colleagues who are listening, and I know that how much they love listening to me and waiting for me to fail. The what have we got here? Blue, where are we going? So that's the changes in spending that we've got.
Red spending, blue is savings. So you can see as people are getting...
Explain it to people who are only listening as well. Put it up here.
Okay, sorry. It shows people, the older demographics, so from, say, 40 years plus, are spending more, but they're also able to save more. Obviously, that's because you get into that later years, your mortgage isn't as large, and you're not spending more in education.
Also, the savings rate has gone up too. So the amount that they've actually got in there is actually starting to increase too.
Yep. Yeah, well, of course, you're earning, you know, 4 to 5% just having money sitting in cash. So it's easier for your savings to grow as well. So
the savings, the blue, so for the 18 to 24 demographic, the change in savings, including offset and all deposits, has decreased by about 6% in the 4 weeks to the 23rd of July. That's 18 to 24. 25 to 34, it's decreased by about 3%. That's the savings rate. The change in spending has also decreased somewhat too, not drastically, but we can see through the middle up to the higher age gaps. Sorry to jump in, Heath, but this is my chart.
That's all right.
And I probably should have checked out what the bars actually meant before I just threw it to you. Savings rates have gone up, as has spending as well. This has been a cycle in which people under the age of 35 have been dealt with badly. How does that sound? And they will not respond kindly to this, I feel. And I hope they don't as well. Because hey, they've got a future ahead of them of saying it's really difficult for me to own a house, it's difficult for me to rent, it's difficult for me to buy food, even work is crazy if I actually get paid what I'm owed. You know, what's the point of any of this? People need to own their own homes. Anyway, that's a bandwagon I'm going to get on. We're going to have a lender on next week. He's going to be good. He's going to run us through some of the things that he's seeing in the market too, which is great. Really looking forward to that. Next tweet that I've got here. Yeah, this is the Jolts report showing just how badly everything went at the beginning of the week. Mm. That number really was just crazy. The Jolts report showed a huge drop in job openings. Actually, last night as well was the PCE in the States. Weakest in, I think, about 8 months. Amazingly bad data. This is the next chart. The amount of times the artificial intelligence related mentions on company transcripts and earnings calls has gone from 5,000-6,000 the times that it was mentioned in 2022 up to almost 30,000 mentioned through earnings calls in the States in 2023. Phenomenal jump, a hockey stick of a chart. Finally, this one, I'm just going to blow this one up a touch so that people can see what's going on here. Look at the professionalism at which we're working here. Isn't that incredible?
Fantastic.
And this is buybacks. 29% of stocks are buying back their shares. This is from BofA. That's the highest level since, draw a line across there, 02, very close to where it was 09. Nothing, no correlation between those two numbers there. But yes, so I always hate those guys who are just like, oh, we haven't seen it that high since 1987. We all know what happened that year. Yeah, the market went up. Yeah, anyway, look, so stock buybacks actually back, definitely back up in the upper echelon. 29% of stocks buying back their shares. Go.
I've got a great stat that sort of lines up with that, and I didn't put it in the show notes. I think I put it in our group chat last week or so. But this is obviously because of tech. I mean, such massive operational cash flow, positive cash flows there. So, so 10 years ago, the market cap of all of tech, the big seven that we're looking at now, is about about 1.1 trillion. And the operational cash flow, positive operational cash flow they have generated over the last 10 years, $2.3 trillion.
That's
so
a few.
Double their market cap 10 years ago. So you can see why, A, there's so many buybacks, and B, why these stocks are trading at such high multiples. It's because they're just cash generation machines. We've seen it with Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, you know, Google, Apple, all of them. They just generate so much cash. And I thought that was a great stack. So 10 years ago, their market cap was around 1.1 trillion, I think.
And now the cash that they've got on hand is about 2.3.
No, brilliant. This is just operational cash flow.
It's operational cash. Now it's operational cash. It's now almost 2.5 times what their market cap was 10 years ago.
Yes.
I was listening. It doesn't always look that way. Mate, we're trying to keep these tight. So give me a footy tip. We're moving into final season for the AFL. What have you got?
There's no footy tips. There's no footy AFL on this weekend. They have the week off. So I don't want them to be doing this weekend. Last week I had my Essendon one failed miserably. They got spanked. My North Melbourne tip, which was paying $3.54, came in very nicely. Okay. They beat the Gold Coast.
Making money back. Well done.
NRL this weekend?
Mate, we've got NRL this weekend. I've had a look at it because there's calls for the NRL for this to go, you know what, for us to have that week off because the amount of players that are getting rested, like entire teams are just getting rested. We're seeing reserve because, I mean, take Penrith, for example. If you're second, you're like, it makes no odds for us if we're gonna bust our asses and get out there and push hard because then we're going to get round one of the finals. Couple more players are going to be injured and we're going to be in all sorts of strife. So I reckon it's almost guaranteed that next year they're going to have the week off same as the AFL is doing. Hopefully it won't be the same week because I actually have to talk to my family. Hello, if you're listening, and I know that they're not. That's a joke too, by the way. But look, this week I've got, because based on that same theory, the North Queensland Cowboys, I think they desperately need to get in to the eight, and I think that a win does put them in. I haven't actually researched that as hard as I probably could have. They've got a 9.5-point start with the Penrith Panthers. Panthers, I think they've checked out for a week. This is going to be their mild Monday going ahead. So look, Panthers are already through. They sustained a pretty nasty injury for one of their guys last week. He'll be out for a long time, I think. So that his shoulder got pulled out of his face, and I hope he's okay. I hate seeing an injury in slow motion. And that's it. So look, I'll take the Cowboys with 9.5. That'll pay you about $1.90. Go nuts with that one. Last bids, mate. Oh, and also congratulations and thank you to all of the people who contributed and attended the Northbridge Knockouts Jump Rope Trivia Night. I hosted a fine trivia night. I hosted three quarters of a fine trivia night. And then I think the fireball just caught up with me and I just... Well, the money raised itself by that stage. That's what you've got to do. People like to see. I was selling answers for shots, and she turned ugly. It'll do that. But anyway, look, once you've raised the money and it's done, everyone had a good time and everything just starts to dissipate anyway. The ability for our little town to come together and just raise incredible sacks of cash is just great. Punches above its weight when it comes to that sort of thing. I think we raised about 12 or 13 grand below, which is good. That goes a long way to helping kids do sport. Check out Jump Rope any chance you get. It's a great sport. All you need, and this is my new slogan that I'm doing, all you need is sneakers and a smile. They give you a rope. It is the most accessible sport you could possibly get into. On that note, mate, last bids. Have you got anything to add?
No, I'm all done, mate. I'm all done.
All right, clear.
Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend, mate. Stay safe and mark well.
See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.